We've said repeatedly here on the show that the coronavirus pandemic has exposed fault lines of vulnerability in the Commonwealth. Hunger is one of those fault lines. The nonprofit Feeding America predicts that 1 in 8 people in eastern Massachusetts will experience food insecurity this year due to the crisis. When it comes to children, that number increases to 1 in 6. That marks a 59% growth in food insecurity in eastern Massachusetts and a 53% increase across the state. This week, Governor Charlie Baker announced that the state is committing $56 million to support food assistance programs in the Commonwealth.
Our goal is to use this funding to meet a greater demand for nutritional assistance among vulnerable populations and those struggling with the economic impacts of the pandemic.
Catherine D'Amato, CEO of the Greater Boston Food Bank, is on the line with us to help us understand the scope of the problem right now. Welcome, Catherine.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Catherine, sometimes I find like the best question to ask right off the bat is, how bad is it? How big a deal is our hunger problem in the Commonwealth right now?
It's incredibly difficult to give you this number. I mean, you stated it up front in terms of a 59% increase in the most vulnerable that are approaching, you know, looking at food insecurity for a significant long period of time. We just have not seen this kind of, you know, change in food insecurity numbers, not in my lifetime of fighting domestic hunger in this country for nearly 40 years.
Okay, I have to admit, I wasn't expecting you to say something that extreme. I know you know I ran Catholic Charities during the last economic crisis, 2008-2009. We thought that change was really bad. You're saying this outstrips that.
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at food security, and you know this well, given your background, it has been a problem in our country for a long, long time. Yet here we now find ourselves in this pandemic. This is like doubling down, Tiziana. Like, this is taking 400,000 people and making it 800,000 people. And then it could be even higher because the unemployment numbers continue to grow. And this is that huge uncertainty that all of us are facing. What's the duration of this pandemic and its impact on communities in eastern Massachusetts served by the Greater Boston Food Bank? I mean, there's enormous uncertainty for people. And during this period of time, for however long it lasts, we are going to see significant numbers of families and individuals facing food insecurity for the very first time.
Catherine, we spoke earlier today with Beth Chambers, the director of Catholic Charities Greater Boston, Catholic Charities South, about some of the new faces that they're seeing. Let's listen to a little of that.
We have a number of people who were previously employed and have been furloughed and laid off and are a part of a larger family where they were the breadwinners. And they're saying, look, you know, this is something new for me, but I have to feed my family and at the same time pay my rent and pay my utilities and drive that car I came in here.
That's really an every person experience. Every community has those stories. Are we having a shared hunger experience that is different than those who are usually vulnerable to hunger?
I can't hear you if you're talking.
Oh, I've lost Catherine. Catherine's
no,
lost
I'm right
sound
here.
For me. Okay, great. So did you hear that question, Catherine? Okay.
I did. You were awesome. I heard the question. I heard Beth. I heard everybody. So, So the question I think you're asking is this a new, you know, why is this so new? Maybe I don't have it correct, Tiziana, but what is clear is that because this is such a pervasive pandemic, right? Or because the pandemic is so pervasive, it has touched everyone that we, you know, that everybody's being touched in some way. And the issue of food insecurity has now come from a very hidden, you know, issue to a very visible issue. You cannot turn away when you see reports on national news about lines of cars or lines of people. This is an economic disaster and it's also a health disaster. But what it has also shown us is that it is a food security disaster as well.
So what do we have to do?
Yeah, well, what we have to do is similar to, you know, we're grateful to the governor, for example. It's the first time in my knowledge, that we've had a food security task force put into place to try to respond. The resources that are being delegated and hopefully appropriated are going to make a very big difference across the emergency feeding system. I think we have to stay resilient. This is a long, long recovery. And, we're going to see people for the next 2, 3, 4 years. These jobs are not just going to flip back on or in, and the impact is so significant. And that's where, you know, the issue cannot be turned away in terms of nutritional assistance for our children, for our elders, for our families. So how we do that, how we bring that all together, is going to be very significant. So we're going to need help, Tiziana. We're going to need money. We're going to need volunteers and agencies like Catholic Charities and that Beth Tamers. We're going to need them to stay resilient, and we plan to keep that network strong.
You talked about the governor putting together this task force for the first time. I know you know that earlier this week he announced, that the state will commit $56 million to support groups working to address food insecurity. Given the magnitude of what you've just said, is that enough? And given the threats to the state budgets from decreased tax revenues, is it sustainable?
It's never enough. I mean, in my entire career, I've never seen enough, because we continue to have food insecurity in our country. It's an absolutely solvable problem. You know, we have the food. We have the places for people to get food. This is much more the economic impact of really showing the ugly side of food inequities and food resources and where they're located in our communities and how people can get them. So the good news, Tiziana, is that it's a start, right? And that there has been for years a network of organizations and donors and food companies that have been in this fight. The key is now we have a bigger problem than we could have ever imagined. So we're going to need to stay resilient and to stay focused. Now, I fully believe that Massachusetts can be a food secure state. I have always believed that. It's absolutely possible. What this pandemic is going to put upon us is that we have to double down. We have to work harder or differently and work with partners like the state in this appropriation that is going to make a significant difference along with private philanthropy.
Catherine, the average listener may not understand the difference between SNAP, or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and food assistance, SNAP being financial benefits, money that people can use to buy food, food assistance being actual food. What's the balance and need there? I know that here in the Commonwealth, there's been a 360% increase in SNAP applications since the pandemic began.
Right. So when we think of how can we help people who need food, I'd encourage people to go to our website, gbfb.org, and click on the need food icon. And in there is a list of a lot of options for people. You know, one is here, put in your zip code and you can see what local food pantry exists in your community and it's ours. You know, the second is you can contact Mass 211 across our state and they'll help you with social services. The third is using the Project Bread food source hotline, which is listed there, who can walk you through how to do that SNAP application and help you determine if you're eligible. These are just, you know, key things. And also, you'll be able to see that the 1300 meal programs in school districts across our state that are available. So these sources are all here for people. And SNAP is one of the most effective programs for nutritional assistance that we have in our country. And getting people on SNAP has been a huge difficulty. There's been a big SNAP meal gap. And this pandemic has just pointed people to a federal resource that can help them. And it's my hope that the state will continue to put SNAP as a priority and put more people on board to help process what is, again, this enormous response of people seeking help.
And again, just for our listeners, the website that Catherine mentioned, we'll put it on our website as well, radioboston.org. Catherine, one more thing on SNAP. You know the Commonwealth has received the green light from the USDA this week to participate in a pilot program that would allow people to use SNAP benefits to purchase food online. That hasn't happened before. How important is that?
It's extraordinary. So you know well enough in your policy work that sometimes in the most difficult, strenuous times, we're able to move policies forward that have been, you know, in the queue for years and years and years. This is a perfect example of, because of the difficult times, we're now able to get a policy that people have been fighting for. So it's awesome that people can. Why not? You know, it's the same way of looking at how we got fruits and vegetables into the use of the SNAP program, because it was hard to measure things, or in the WIC program. So it just is, it's really good news. And I hope that individuals and families that are using the SNAP benefits take advantage of these changes in the policy, like the, you know, pandemic EBT card. That's another one that's happening right now. So there are ways in which we can help your listeners get the food they need. Go to gbfb.org. We're here to help you.
And that's Catherine D'Amato, CEO of the Greater Boston Food Bank. Catherine, I really appreciate you giving us time today.
You're welcome.